welcome to the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. Thanks for listening to our service today. Verses 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you. I invite you to open up your copy of the Word of God with me today to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, as we continue in our series of messages entitled Daniel Following God Far From Home. Last Sunday morning I began part 1 of a sermon entitled The Fireproof Faith. We're going to finish that this morning with part 2. One of the most dramatic and exciting accounts in all of Scripture is that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Daniel's three friends, whose Scripture tells us were thrown into the fiery furnace. In case you have missed it somehow, Daniel's three friends refused to bow and to worship the image of gold which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up to worship. And because of that, that choice that they made, it was based upon their faith in who God was. They would never have chosen to refuse to bow if it wasn't for the fact that there was someone else that they were bowing to. And as I studied this past week, it dawned upon me that all of us bow to someone or something. The question is, do you bow to God or do you bow to something or someone? They refused to bow to this image of gold because of what everyone else was doing. Everyone in Babylon, every time the music would sound, everyone would bow down to this image. But yet, every time that this happened, Scripture records for us, there were three Hebrew boys that refused to bow when the music was played. Because of that, there was a consequence that awaited them. They were to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Anyone that was crazy enough to refuse to bow, Scripture tells us, was cast into the fiery furnace. The wise men of the kingdom of Babylon informed King Nebuchadnezzar that there were three boys that refused to bow down every time the music was played. They're brought before the king, and we're going to pick this up this morning in chapter 3 in verse 19. But they made this choice to obey God and leave the consequences up to him. You should be in Daniel chapter 3 by now. Would you look with me at verses 19 and down through verse 25? Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 19 this morning, I would invite you to join me in standing if you're able in honor of the public reading of God's Word. Daniel chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading in verse 19 and read down through verse 25. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their trousers, their turbans and their garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "Oh, yes, true king, yes." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they were not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the sun of God." You may be seated. Today we're going to see what happened to Daniel's three friends when they were thrown into the fiery furnace because of their faith in God. King Nebuchadnezzar was furious that these three refused to bow to this image of gold. Scripture records for us in that verse that we just read, verse number 19, that he was full of fury, that the expression on his face changed. He was not happy. Because of that, he commands those that were in charge of the fiery furnace to increase the heat times seven, Scripture records for us. No doubt that as he did this, people all throughout Babylon saw the billow of smoke that would come up out of this fiery furnace. They would smell the smoke. They would smell the fire and know that it was more than usual. Daniel's friends believed in their faith in God before the king. As they stood there, they testified in verses 16 and down through verse 18 of chapter 3. We have no need to answer you, because God's going to deliver us. But if He doesn't, we want it to be known. We're not going to serve you. We're not going to bow to your images. We're not going to worship your gods. But now, could God save them from the midst of a burning, fiery furnace that was roaring right in front of them? Would it be clear that they had fireproof faith or foolproof faith? Would they look smart? Would they look foolish? Would God answer? I told you last week, the first three words of chapter 3 and verse 18 says this, but if not. We go into every trial and every difficulty of life understanding that God is in control. Amen? And those three Hebrew boys went into this understanding, we have a good God. We have a God that loves us. We have a God that has a plan for us. But if for some reason God's plan is different than what we think, because He's God and I'm not, we're going to trust Him. And I would say this morning, and you know this account of Scripture that we're going to look at, but a faith that is tested by fire is a faith that can be trusted. Amen? With that, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, would you help us now as we open up your word? Father, and as we look at this account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that there would be things that we can take away and that we can apply to our own lives. Father, the message that you've laid upon my heart, help me to recall the things that I've studied. Father, hide me behind the cross that the word of God would be what people remember today as they leave. That they would be encouraged, that we would be challenged as the Holy Spirit speaks to us through his word, convicting us of areas that we need to change. Father, help each and every one of us to have this fireproof faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. A faith that was willing to go to the furnace. A faith that was willing to endure this trial, this testing, because they understood that we have an almighty and an all-powerful God. We have a God that watches out for His children. Father, bless our time in your word this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. A Fireproof Faith, Part 2. Thanksgiving happens only once a year, but it seems as though some people just hate the dreaded task of cooking a turkey for a family get-together, don't they? How many of you have a turkey that you're going to cook? How many of you aren't looking forward to cooking it? I read this past week that 43% of confident people in the kitchen are still nervous about cooking a turkey. Among the younger generation, 73% of millennial age people refuse to cook a turkey because they're afraid some disaster will happen. And those people that hate that dreaded task, they tend to be the people that we hear about on the news, who apparently had trouble cooking their Thanksgiving turkey. And I was reading some funny stories, and here's just a few of those. The one story says, on my first Thanksgiving with my husband, we decided to deep fry the turkey. Somehow we lost the fryer instructions and decided to wing it. We accidentally doubled the amount of cooking time, so the turkey came out crispy black and about a third of the original size. The end of the article said, we ate plenty of sides that year. Another one. One year around Thanksgiving, we began experiencing issues with our control panel on our oven. I called the repairman to come to look at it, but because of the holiday, he informed me that he would not be able to come until the week after Thanksgiving. I assumed that we could probably make it till after Thanksgiving, so I told him that would be fine. On Thanksgiving Day, we put the turkey in the oven and began to cook it. Several hours into the cooking process, as we were all sitting at the table talking, all of a sudden, the oven control panel on the oven went crazy. The beeper went off. The lights were flashing. We quickly ran over to the oven in an attempt to open the door, only to discover that it was locked shut and the oven was apparently in self-cleaning mode, aka hottest temperature possible. By the time my husband found the breaker box to kill the power, we had turkey jerky. One particular Thanksgiving, we were in the process of finishing our basement. We had an electrician over during the morning to finish up some wiring in a bathroom as we had company coming over that day. While the electrician was there, I prepared the turkey and I put it in the oven to cook. Apparently, after about 3 hours after I put the turkey into the oven, the electrician accidentally flipped the breaker to the oven in checking some new circuits. I needed to run to the store and pick up some more food items for the meal, so I left my husband in charge of the turkey. However, he did not notice that the oven was no longer on, and sometime after I left, that the turkey wasn't cooking. All of this, somehow, he missed. After 2 hours later, when I arrived home, it dawned on me as I entered the house that there was no smell of turkey. I came into the kitchen to discover that the oven was off and the turkey was nowhere near done. Just because you put the turkey in the oven doesn't mean that it will cook. Story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is all about a king who wanted to cook these Hebrew boys in a fiery furnace. What he did not realize was that God is omnipotent, that he had his hand of protection on them. It didn't matter how hot the furnace was, because you can't harm what God is protecting. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the first two scenes of this passage. Scene number one, in recap for you this morning. Scene number one, they would not bow. As I stated last week, scene number one in the first six verses is they would not bow. Every time the music was played, they refused to bow. And I mentioned last Sunday, that is devotion. Devotion to God. They would not bow. They refused to do what everybody else around them was doing. They would not bow. They were devoted to God and to God alone. Scene number two is seen in verses 15 and down through verse 17. And that is that they would not bend. They would not bend. That was determination. They're brought before the king. The king says, perhaps you've missed this. Perhaps you didn't know what's going on. I'll give you a second chance. And as he's getting ready to turn and the music is starting to play, they stop and say, King, if that's the case, then don't worry about it because we're not going to bow. They were determined above all that they were going to please God. If you back up to chapter 1, as I stated already in a previous message, it says in verse number 8 that Daniel purposed in his heart of chapter 1 that he would not defile himself. His friends purposed in their heart that if a day came where they were going to have to stand for God, 900 plus miles away from home, stand for what they believed, they would do it. And it didn't matter whether it was a furnace or a lion's den or whatever it was, they were going to stand for God. They were determined. This morning I want to share with you the third scene. And then I want to share with you four life lessons that are learned from this furnace of life. Scene number three this morning. Look at verses 19 and down through verse 27. We read these already. Verse 19 tells us that Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And the expression on his face changed towards that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke and commanded that the heat of the furnace be seven times more than it was usually heated. We like the phrase, seven times hotter. I've done my best in studying and researching and trying to figure out how hot this thing was. And the point is, it doesn't matter. Seven times hotter than any temperature you think of is incredibly hot. If it was 100 degrees, it was 700. If it was 200 degrees, it was 1400. It doesn't matter. It was seven times hotter than whatever they usually put it at. And here's the thing. At what it was heated at normally would have killed you instantly. It's seven times that temperature. Verse number one of this passage says that he made this image and he sets this up. And that pride, that joy that he had as he looked at this image and thought, wow, Nebuchadnezzar, wow, you're really something. It changed in chapter 3 and verse 19 because it says that the expression on his face changed. He was full of anger. He was full of fury. He was upset. Kind of like you will be when your turkey fries. He was upset. He was mad. And notice this. That burning desire inside of him, that fury, that anger, that hatred, that fire that consumed him internally, It transformed him into giving a command to do something externally. The one that was really on fire in this passage isn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's King Nebuchadnezzar. He is upset. He's furious. And so these soldiers, it says in verse 20, he commands some of the strongest of his soldiers to take and to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, these three Hebrew boys wearing robes, Scripture says, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, they're bound and they're thrown into the midst of a blazing furnace. I want you to notice something. I'm not really good with fire, but I like fire. But if I was going to fall in a fire, the last thing that I would want is any extra clothing. Scripture tells us that they were thrown in with extra garments on. They didn't strip them down and then throw them in. They threw them in with everything. I've had a coat catch on fire before burning leaves. That's not fun. I can't imagine being thrown in a suit, tie, and all of this in the midst of a furnace and to have it light. But they're wearing all of this, and Scripture does this for a reason. I believe that God put this in here for a reason, because what makes sense for man doesn't make sense with God, amen? Because Scripture says there is a God in heaven, and He's able. And if the same God that could deliver them, if they were wearing just a simple dress shirt, as well as all these garments, if He could do the dress shirt, why couldn't He do this? We have a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, above all that we even think makes sense. The king's command was urgent, and the furnace was so hot that Scripture tells us that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here's my question. How far did they get carrying Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before they were overcome? And if these strong men, Scripture tells us that these strong men that took them up and cast them into the midst of the furnace, if they were so overcome with the heat and they died, wouldn't it be a little weird that these three Hebrew boys, teenage boys, are not overcome with the heat? And yet the strongest men that you have in your army die? I don't know whether they threw them in and died, or whether they were in the process of doing that, and they died, and the boys simply fell in. I don't know. But the point is that it was so hot that they were overcome, and Scripture tells us that they died. And into the furnace fall Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, firmly tied into the midst of a blazing, fiery furnace. Scripture in the account that we read says that Nebuchadnezzar, he leapt to his feet, and he looks, and he says, "Didn't we throw three guys in there? I see four." And not only are they not bound, they're walking around, and I see four. I see four. And he says and he testifies that one looks like the Son of God. And in the midst of that fire, their bodies are not harmed, their hair is not singed, their robes are not scorched, there's no smell of smoke on them. The third scene this morning is this: they wouldn't burn. They would not burn. Verses 19 through 27. They would not burn. That's deliverance. The king is so furious. He's the one who's really burning, yet he orders the furnace to be heated super hot. The only way to get a furnace hotter is to introduce more oxygen, to put more oxygen in it. Somehow they had some kind of air bellows in which they would pump air into this furnace to get it going. The sparks are flying, the flames are roaring, the smoke is billowing out the top. No doubt people are seeing this from all around Babylon. This is in a prominent place, a place where everyone would see and know somebody made a decision to be thrown into the furnace. Most archaeologists agreed that this is some kind of a brick furnace that's somewhat shaped like an old milk bottle, wider at the bottom with an opening through which metals could be inserted to heat them up. There'd be an opening about halfway up somewhere where fuel could be put in by staying on some kind of a scaffolding. And then there was an opening at the top that would allow the smoke to escape. The fire was so hot, Scripture tells us that the strong soldiers who dropped them in from the platform, they succumbed to the heat and smoke and died. And I can't get past that. It's amazing that God protected them that far when the strong men die and the boys are still alive and they're not even in there yet. Somehow they managed to drop them into the fire. Scripture tells us that he sees four walking around. And I want you to notice something about Scripture. It says in verse 21, "And these men, bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." I don't know what it's like to fall into a fire. I've jumped over a fire. I've never fallen into a fire. But can you imagine? You're bound, your arms, your legs, you cannot move, and somebody throws you in the midst of a fire. I wonder, did those boys try to free themselves? Did they try to fight back? Did they put up a struggle? Or did they willingly go? Scripture doesn't tell us that. What it does tell us is they were bound. When you're bound, you cannot get free. Whether those boys wanted to fight back or not, there was no physical way they could have. They fall in the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and the only thing that the Babylonians put on them are binds. Look at the text of Scripture. Look at verse 22. "Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed the men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace." And here's what I want you to notice. They did their best to bind them with new names, to bind them with Babylonian thought and language and literature, to somehow get them to forget where they had come from. And they bound them as they cast them into the midst of the fiery furnace to remind them they were still simply men. You know what Scripture tells us? The only part of them that was burnt in the midst of that fire, selective heat, as one commentator said, the only thing that burnt were the binds on their hands and on their feet. And as King Nebuchadnezzar sat there, and somehow he was able to see in there, he sees them fall down in the midst of this furnace, and probably in his mind, as the flames are coming up, never expected them to ever get back up. He knew it was over. To watch your strong men die and to watch these boys somehow make it past that and then to fall in the midst of this, it would only be a second, maybe two, or they died in the process of falling down. But to his amazement, these boys stand up. They're somehow free of the binds that they were bound with before they were thrown in. And they're walking around. I don't know what they sang in there. But the point is, they were moving, they were free. And notice this. King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. I don't know about you, but I would be a little astonished if I threw three people into a fire and they all were standing, walking around. He's astonished, and it's almost as if he's got to get closer. I don't know how close he got, but folks, if the fire was hot enough it consumed his three strong men, I wonder how far away he had to stand. Notice this. He is astonished. He rises to his feet in haste, and he speaks and says to his counselors, "Didn't we throw three guys bound in there? I know I'm the king. I know I have a lot that I oversee, but there's a big difference between three and four. And Miriam will tell you the difference between three and four. And she's not four yet." But he says, didn't we throw three? And I'm seeing four. And the counselors are probably going, "What? There's four?" And it says in Scripture here that they said, "Yes, we threw three in." And he says, "Look." And he points and he says, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire." And notice the middle phrase of this verse. "They are not hurt." I don't know about you, but if you get touched with any part of fire, something's going to hurt. You're going to get a blister, you're going to get a burn, you're going to get something. They're not hurt at all. They're not bemoaning, they're not wailing, they're not in torment. Yet they're in the midst of a fire. And notice what he says at the end of verse 25. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar observes in his pagan language that the fourth one looks like the son of the gods. In verse 28, he calls the fourth man an angel. And you say, well, who is this man? And there's a lot of debate about this. The majority of Jewish scholars have identified this person as an angel. Some think that it's the angel Gabriel. However, the expression Son of God ascribes deity to someone of divine nature. The king believed that he saw no less than a god in the flames with the Hebrews. From a Christian perspective, we know that this is a pre-incarnate Christ that appeared to individuals in the Old Testament. More than likely, the man in the fire was the Lord God himself in the person of his son, we know as Jesus Christ, who is sometimes called the angel of the Lord. Without being dogmatic, we know that it's God's man, it's God's son. And I believe it's one of those rare visits of Jesus to earth before Bethlehem. This is in the Old Testament appearance of the Son of God, that he came down from heaven in bodily form. He stood up from his heavenly throne, he stepped across from the battlements of heaven, he walked down the starry staircase, and he walked into the midst of a blazing fiery furnace. And here's the thing I think is so amazing. I firmly believe Jesus was there before they were ever cast in. And when they fell down and they were terrified in the midst of the fire, Jesus said, here's a hand, let me help you up. They're in the midst of this fire. And he's there and he says, relax guys, I'm here. In the New Testament, you find Jesus on the sea with his disciples. And the storm is just raging. And they're all scared and they're afraid. And Jesus says, relax, I'm here. I kind of get the idea. Jesus said the same thing to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm here, I'm with you, it's okay. Only the ropes of their hands and their feet were incinerated. This is a good time to say that if you have a problem believing the miracles of the Bible, you're never ever really going to be able to know God. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding says three Hebrew boys would never make it through that fire. And you're exactly right. So much of the Bible can't be explained reasonably or logically, but the Bible is not irrational. Folks, if you can't handle Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, you aren't going to handle this miracle or anything that's listed thereafter. Because it doesn't make sense. You'll stumble over the miracles of the Bible and you'll have a hard time knowing God. To me, a good definition of a miracle is when Jesus shows up. Folks, he showed up right here and this is a miracle. When Nebuchadnezzar called these three young men out of the furnace, they didn't smell like smoke, their hair wasn't burned, and Nebuchadnezzar started to praise God. Look at this, verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and he spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the administrators, and the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw that these men, on whose bodies the fire had no power, the hair of their head was not singed, nor their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. I was outside the other day and the neighbor was burning leaves. And I came inside and my wife said, where in the world have you been? You stink like smoke. And I said, well, I've been outside. She says, well, were you burning something? I said, no, the neighbor was down the street. It amazes me that they came out of the fire and none of them smelled like smoke. Not a hair on their head was singed. And I love the truth of that because Scripture tells us that God has the hairs of our head and our body numbered. Not only that, but you look at this and notice what else it says about them. It says their garments were not affected. They're wearing all of this and none of it's affected. I wonder if they brought out the binds what was left of them, if there was anything, and they handed them to the satraps, to the counselors, and said, "Here you go." But I have a feeling they were long gone. But they come out, and they're standing before the king. And notice what Nebuchadnezzar says in verse 28. "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces and their houses be made an ash heap, because there is no god who can deliver like this." And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You say, wow, Nebuchadnezzar gets it. Folks, he's long, long ways from admitting God is who he says he is. But here's something I want you to notice. Notice the truth of what he says. "I make a decree that anyone who so much as speaks a word against God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm going to cut them up. I'm going to burn their house. I'm going to make it clear there is a God in heaven." And I love what he ends with. Notice this. "There is no God who can deliver like this." Amen? There is no God who can deliver like this. Do you believe in a God who can deliver you out of the fiery trials of life? Hopefully it doesn't take a pagan king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar to get you to see that. But it says that he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. I want to share with you this morning, in the time that we have left, four life lessons learned in the furnace. Number one. Lesson number one. Persecution. Persecution. Facing the fire deepens your commitment. When you dare to be different, when you dare to stand up for God, and you refuse to bow down to the idols of this world, you will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says this, "Everyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." If you're going to be a real Christian and live a real Christian life for God, you're going to face persecution. People are going to make fun of you. You're going to face fiery trials of life. Have you discovered that sold-out Christians in America, they bug the average American? If you're a Sunday-only Christian, you fit in just great. But if you decide to be a 24/7 Christian, you become a religious fanatic. When you're at work in the coffee room and everybody is listening to someone tell a joke that's inappropriate, and you don't laugh, what do? They look at you really weird. And heaven forbid that you should ever ask somebody to quit speaking the Lord's name in vain. You're considered a kook. You say, "Well, I'm a Christian, and I'm not being persecuted." Look at the verse again. "All those that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." If you aren't seeing some persecution in your life, maybe that says something about the commitment level that you have to God. You never need to go around and try to stir up trouble, because if you live for Jesus and you strive to do that, watch out, it'll happen. You'll be thrown into the furnace. I can tell you personally, I've been through the fire a few times, and I expect I'll go through it again. But I found that during the hottest times of persecution, I've been driven to my knees and to intimacy with Jesus that's only deepened. I have grown to love God more and more and more. For that reason, I wouldn't trade any of the fiery furnace experiences that I've gone through. And just think, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they hadn't been thrown in the fire, they wouldn't ever have had the chance to walk with the pre-incarnate Christ. Lesson number two, perseverance. Perseverance. Don't give in to peer pressure. Remember our story? They wouldn't bow. That's devotion. And then when they're given a second chance, they wouldn't bend. That's determination. In other words, they already determined beforehand that they're going to be faithful to God. I stated this beforehand. Purpose now that you're going to be faithful to God before the trial and the temptation and the difficulty ever comes, because you won't stand. It doesn't matter what it is. You have to determine now in a time when you're clear of thought that you will be faithful in a time when you're not. You haven't made the decision. It's a tough choice to make in the heat of the furnace that's warming against your face. Teenagers, you have to determine now, in a moment of clarity, that you're going to remain pure for God till marriage. You won't do it. You will not do it in the heat and the fire of temptation. You won't decide to do that in the moment. To do this, you have to resist temptation to be like everyone else. It's peer pressure. How do you think these three young boys felt when everyone around them bowed down? They're like, we don't want to be different, do we? We don't want to stand out. Sometimes we have to stand out for God to do what's right. And they were determined to do that. They persevered. No person likes the feeling of being different. Listen, if you dare to be a Daniel or a Shadrach or a Meshach or a Abednego, you're going to have to stand alone when no one else will. While everyone else is going a different direction, you face the door of heaven, you face Jesus Christ, and you say, I'm going to be faithful whether it's painful or not. 1 Peter 2 and verse 20 says, but how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Lesson number three, presence. Presence. Jesus will be with you in the fire. Here's a little math lesson. How many men were thrown in the fire? Three. How many men were seen walking around in the fire? Four. How many men walked out of the fire? Three.
We hope you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m.